And a very good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you on this Tuesday evening, the 25th of December. And yes, I am here live in the studio on this Christmas Day. And I have to say, last week I was a little surprised to find out that Christmas fell on a Tuesday, because it was my understanding that that kind of thing didn't happen. It wasn't possible. And I have to admit, you know, at first I was a little bit perturbed that I would have to actually be in the radio station on this day, which is usually a holiday. Usually you're out having fun with people, friends, relatives, whatnot. And I guess all I could think of at the time when I was told that I'd have to report to the station, that I was somehow missing out. And I was a little upset by that. But then I got to thinking about it for a while, and I realized that it doesn't have to be so bad. It doesn't have to be so bad for either you, the listener, or me, the person that you're listening to, because is this day really that different from any other day? I mean, lots of times, over the years, many times, in fact, I've wound up doing radio programs on what we call the loneliest day on campus, which is December 26th, the day nobody wants to be around. I'm not quite sure why that is, but usually nobody is around at all, and you feel like you're just talking to nobody, or maybe to yourself if you're lucky. So is this day really any different? Well, yes, obviously it is, because this is the day where everyone's being festive and having fun and hanging out with their relatives and opening presents and going out and having drinks and just sort of relaxing and not having to work and do the same thing that you do every single day of the year normally. And it somehow it just means something a little bit different than what it is normally. So yeah, it's a different day, but the point I'm trying to make, and that I might be getting a little bit away from, is that certain things go on all the time, and the radio station is one of those things. A power station might be another thing. If you're driving a bus or a train or maybe flying an airplane, or if you're a policeman on the beat, or a criminal for that matter, you have to keep working on holidays too, and it's important. Society depends upon that. So it's vital that you not slack off and decide that, oh, just because today's a holiday, I shouldn't be doing what I normally do. Well, that's not true, and I've come to realize that. Today is a holiday, yes. It's a very festive occasion. Many people are having fun. For some, it's the highlight of the year, the most important day of the year, the day where you certainly wouldn't be caught doing a normal thing, where you just want to spend time away from that. And yeah, that's part of the philosophy, I suppose. But there are other things that transcend that. And this radio station here and this radio program are two of those things. These things must continue, regardless of all the fun that's going on outside, independent of those particular things. So that's why I felt it was particularly important to cast all that aside and to come in today and sit down here in front of this microphone right now, live on this radio station, and do the program like I should do normally. And not complain about it, not make a big fuss over it, because today is basically just another day. And that's how it should be. You need certain things to be there. You need certain benchmarks of society, I suppose, to just always be in the right place at the right time. And that's kind of what this show has become. People turn on the radio at 6 o'clock on a Tuesday night, and they expect to hear Off the Wall. That is, if they're tuning to this radio station, obviously. And they'd be surprised if they heard it someplace else. But the point is, it should be at the same time, at the same place, and we shouldn't let things like holidays get in the way of that. And I've come to realize that, and I hope others do as well. Because one thing I've learned from this radio station, one thing that I've brought away from my many years being involved with this institution, is that it's all about responsibility. It's all about taking seriously those things that you commit to doing. And it's not just a question of doing something when it's convenient for you to do it. It's not just something that's there for you. It's something that's there for many people. We have a couple of hundred volunteers that work at this radio station. We have Lord knows how many listeners out there. hundreds of thousands, maybe millions, probably, and they turn on the radio, they expect to hear certain things. And it's our obligation to make sure those things come their way and not to let our individual lives affect that. And that's a very important lesson. That's something that you must learn when you get involved with a group of dedicated people, that it's bigger than just you. It's about the people. It's about the collective. It's about the community, the organization, all of that. And I hear many times people at this place, and yes, I'll say it, I'll go out on a limb here and actually point the camera back at us and say, yes, there are people here who don't take that responsibility seriously. There are people here who would just as soon not be in the radio station on the 25th of December and be out doing something else because that's more convenient to them. And I realize that's just not right. You have to make those sacrifices. It's all about sacrifice. It's all about showing up and being someplace and doing your job. I think that's what we all need to be doing, is doing our job on these days where it's least convenient for us to do our jobs. And I say to those people who would put a show on tape or simply hand it off to somebody else, shame on you. That's right, shame on you for not taking the responsibility seriously enough to come in and fulfill your obligations to the community, that community that's depending on you. And I realize this is something that, even after all these years, I'm still learning. I'm still learning that lesson. That's not just about what's convenient for me and what I'd rather be doing. That's why it feels good to be sitting here tonight, when I could be someplace else. But I'm where I should be, at 6 o'clock on a Tuesday. And besides, I'm sure a lot of people have grown tired of all the fun they're having today anyway, and they're turning on the radio to sort of escape from the fun and get back to reality, and it's important that we be there when people do that. I know I've certainly tried to escape many times by turning on the radio. And, well, here we are. We're on the radio now, doing a normal show here live at the radio station. So many other places, so many other stations on the dial, there aren't people there in the studio ever virtually. And here, it's important to say that, yes, people actually show up and fulfill their obligations and are live in the flesh. It just, I think it sounds better. I think it sounds better when people are there to answer the phone or to report on what's going on live at that moment. I mean, I can tell you now that it's Tuesday, the 25th of December, shortly after 6 p.m., and here I am in a radio station studio in Stony Brook, New York, and it's dark outside. It's cold because it's winter, and there's some traffic on the roads, and not a whole lot else I can say because, well, I'm in here. I don't know what's going on outside in the world because I'm stuck in this little room. I mean it in a good way. I'm not upset that I'm stuck in this little room. I'm just saying that it's important that somebody be here live and not just coming to you as a disembodied voice over some kind of magnetic device where people try to pretend that they're live or that they're in a particular place that they're not. I've heard radio station DJs pretend that they're local to a particular community when actually they've never even been to that community. They live hundreds of miles away. I've heard people say good morning when they recorded something in the evening. So they're lying right there. Here at this radio station, you'll never catch us lying. That's how good we are.
Father taught me how to be so pure of thought and word and deed, but he didn't quite succeed. For everything I long to do, no matter when or where, has one thing in common too. It's a sin, such a sin. It's a sin, it's a sin. Everything I've ever done and everything I'll ever do, every place I've ever been.
I admit, I actually played around with the idea of simply recording the show and doing something else today. And I realized how hypocritical that would be for me to do that. Because invariably something gets messed up someplace and you wind up having to deal with an engineer in the studio who isn't listening to the radio program in the first place, usually playing the worst possible records you could imagine, and not paying attention to what's going on over the air until somebody calls up and says, hey, guy, do you know that you're not on the air anymore? And then there's this wild scramble to fix whatever the problem is. It just sounds so terrible. It always sounds so bad. And at least if you're there live in the studio and something goes wrong, you can deal with it right there on the spot. There aren't these embarrassing gaps or just disconnects where somebody who doesn't really know what's going on has to deal with the situation. And I'm not saying anything bad about the people who engineer programs or who engineer my programs in particular, because they're trying as hard as they can. They're doing, you know, as good a job as anyone really with a sense of reality could expect. But it's no substitute for the real thing. And I think that's a lesson that needs to be learned by a lot of people around here. They think they can just hand off their show to somebody else and walk out the door and it's just going to happen. It doesn't. Folks, it doesn't happen that way. You gotta pay strict attention to this like you're launching a spaceship or something, because attention to detail is everything. That is what matters. And it doesn't matter that today is a holiday and it's a special occasion and that you really should be with your friends and family and having a good time and all that. That's all incidental to your responsibilities. And I think that's something that it takes time to drum into your head. It's a really important thing. And hopefully that's something that I've been able to impress upon people. I don't want to waste the whole show talking about this. I could. But then again, I think I'd sort of be getting away from the whole point, which is to do the normal thing and not to do anything special because you feel it's a different kind of a day. I'm not trying to take anything away from the special occasion of the day either. I'm not trying to get certain religious types upset at me. I'm just trying to point out that the world must continue moving. It has to continue spinning on its axis, and people like us are entrusted to do this. And we take that entrustation seriously, very seriously. So I'm hoping that this got through.
Such a feeling's coming over me. There is wonder in most everything I see. Not a cloud in the sky, got the sun in my eyes, and I won't be surprised if it's a dream. Everything I want the world to be is now coming true, especially for me. It's because you are here. You're the nearest thing to heaven that I've seen. I'm on the top of the world, looking down on creation, and the only explanation I can find is the love that I found ever since you've been around. Your love's put me at the top of the world. My name, and it's telling me that things are not the same. In the leaves,
people who depend on this program for their weekly glimpse of the world and what's going on in it, and it would be selfish to simply take that off the air because it wasn't convenient to do something that week and to replace it with songs or whatever it is the kids are playing these days, and just pretend those people aren't out there. They'll find something else to do. They don't have to hear about the world this week. I just fear that could be a very bad precedent to set. So it's extremely important that we continue to provide that service of showing people what's happening in the world on this a holiday. And as it turns out, next week is also a holiday. It kind of sucks that it worked out that way, but apparently New Year's follows Christmas Day by exactly 7 days. I don't know whose idea that was, but you wind up with a holiday on the same day of the week, 2 weeks in a row. And I'd certainly, if it was up to me, obviously I'd spread it out a little bit so it was a little bit fairer. Like, you know, New Year's could be on January 2nd instead of January 1st, and then the person on Wednesday night would have to deal with this instead of the person on Tuesday night 2 weeks in a row. Or at least not have a calendar that's 7 days in length. Maybe have a calendar that's 6 days in length. You know, just something so that the same person doesn't get screwed 2 weeks in a row. I mean, that's not unfair, I don't think. But regardless, nobody consults me on these decisions. I have no say in how the holidays are spread out or who decides when Easter is going to be this year or anything like that. No one ever comes to me and says, Emmanuel, what do you think? And that's okay. That's fine. I'm not upset at that. I really am not. I'm too busy to worry about things like that. I've got my own life to deal with. All right? So where the holidays fall and how alternate side of the street parking works and the order of the letters in the alphabet, all of that stuff I leave to other people to work out. Okay? Fine. You guys do that. I'm going to do the show because that's my purpose here tonight, is to do the show. All right. All that said,
we had a faulty microphone in the studio, so now I'm talking to you.
Another gin and tonic.
Thank you. I'm coming to you from this other microphone in the studio, still live, and hoping that we can continue this special program on this special day. Thank you very much. On this special day, where we observe the solemn occasions of history and various things like that. You know what might be good? I think what I'd like to do instead, rather than continue to talk here, I'm going to try to fix that other microphone. It would be very nice if that microphone was working again, and we didn't have to use this one. I taped something to play on the air, that I think might be interesting to share with the people. I say for such an occasion, it's a bit of an adventure that I had a couple of weeks ago during a snowstorm. And I was trying to drive my car up a hill. So it's a fascinating story, fascinating adventure that I think you'll all enjoy. So rather than waste more time on this, let's just go to that now. yes, let's just go to that story now, if we possibly can. Let me hit the right button. God, what do I have to do to get taken seriously?
I am going up a road now, which does not appear to have been sanded or salted or anything. It has ice and snow on it. And I'm already sliding without even going up the main part of the hill yet. Yeah, you know, I don't think this is going to happen. I don't know why I'm even continuing. Well, I guess I'm continuing because if I stop, I have to back up, and that's going to be even worse. Yeah, you see, oh boy, I've got this car from 1993, which often can do amazing things, but, oh gosh, just to see if it can do this. I am actually scared. This might be the most scared I have been while on the radio. But if you're hearing me on the radio, that means, well, either I survived or somebody figured out what I was trying to do when they went through the wreckage. Okay, now I am actually going up a hill, but I'm sliding as I'm going up the hill. I have so much of this hill left to go, and there's rocks and things on the side, and I honestly don't see how I can possibly make it up this hill. I have a lot of faith in this car, front wheel drive and all that, but there's always so much. And of course, the last part of the hill is the steepest part of the hill. This was not smart, was it? Of course, you know, a nice thing to do would have been to spread sand up on top. Oh, man, this is turning into a real mess. Let me roll my window down so I can at least see what I'm about to roll into. I'm almost maybe a foot away from the top of the hill. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, I made it. I actually made it. This car is incredible. I made it up what must have been sheer ice, and nothing has been plowed. There's no sand. There's no salt. There's no pavement. There's just snow. And so, somehow, wow, do you smell that? Well, no, you can't smell that, but I smell burning rubber from what my tire just did. Okay, and now here I am getting onto a main road, which doesn't look much better than the road I just escaped. Of course, I still have to make it to the post office. There's no guarantee I'm going to make that. Oh my God, did I remember the pack? Oh yeah, I did, okay. I thought I forgot the package after all that. Wow. Well, that was something else. Actually, what am I celebrating for? I've got to go down that hill later. Oh boy, this is not going to be fun. All right, so here I'm on a main road. What's that up ahead? I see lights. It's a truck of some sort. A truck that's stranded, and here's another car that's, oh, look at that, it's an SUV that's stuck. How is it I'm able to drive an economy car that's 14 years old, and I can go up a steep hill, and this SUV can't even go on a level surface without messing everything up? Well, don't back into me, you fool. Wouldn't that be great? That would be the ultimate SUVs in the news for me to get into an accident with an SUV while doing this show. But that almost happened just now. I mean, I was driving past an SUV, and he decided to back up while I was driving past him. I mean, this is the kind of mentality I'm talking about, where there's just no common sense. Oh, here's a car coming straight at me. Let's not do that. All right. What was I saying? Yeah, no common sense. I drive in the worst possible conditions known to man, just so I can make a deadline at the post office. Okay, now I have to go up another hill, but this is a hill on a main road, so I should be okay, but maybe not, as an SUV comes barreling towards me. On my side of the road, I might point out, another pet peeve of mine. All right. I'm actually making some good progress up this road, even though there's absolutely no plowing that's been going on here. We have about maybe, I don't know, 2-3 inches of snow, but it's the kind of snow that's, it's a hard snow. It's like turning to ice, even as I speak. But, you know, life goes on. You got to get out, you got to do things, you got to run your errands. Most of all, though, and I think anyone who's been in the Olympics can attest to this, you have to just see if you can do it. You know, you have to put your faith in God and your country and just try and put in that extra effort to see if you can actually be the person to make it happen. You know, the people back home are rooting for you, and it's really all about them. It's about making the people back home proud. And I feel that today, God has been with me and has blessed me to get me in this car, up my hill, down the street. And I feel the support of all you out there, and I appreciate that. And you're the real winners here. As I find a stop sign. Oh, my God, I'm skidding. Okay, stop skidding now. Thank you. All right, that was fun. Oh, no need to signal. No need to signal. SUV in front of me just pulled out without signaling. I almost... Another SUV wants to cut me off. Go ahead. You know what? The road belongs to you. I'm just a mere occupier of space that you really should be in. Go ahead, idiot. So I guess technically this is the first snow of the season. We did have a couple of dustings, but this is the one where people actually stand up and take notice and say, wow, it's snowing outside, and let's do things like build snowmen and have hot chocolate and various other things that you do in the wintertime. And it's always a very peaceful time. Of course, this is smack in the middle of rush hour, so maybe it's not so peaceful for the people driving, but you can't help but be moved by it. Just having the world kind of slow down a little bit and take notice of what's going on around them. I feel sorry for those people that live in places, I know many of them listen to us, who don't get to experience this. You basically have the same weather almost all the time. Maybe your winter, the temperature only gets down into the 50s or something. or maybe the temperature doesn't change at all. Maybe it's the same all year long. Or maybe you just live in one of those places where it might get a little chilly, but then it just rains. This is really where it's at. This is what it's all about, to see the extremes, to see cold in the winter and hot in the summer, to actually see precipitation change its face, and to be able to just do these different things, like slide down a hill, or try to drive up a hill, or build a snowman, or just feel like, wow, life is changing around me. That's always... It's always good to be had in that, whether it's a different culture around you or just a different environment, a different outlook. Doing the same thing day after day, year after year, month after month. Probably should have said that in the other order, but you know what I mean. Doing the same thing all the time is doesn't really get you anywhere. Now, we've been doing this show since 2003, and I've been saying this week after week, every single show. I've been trying to make this point, that it's no good to constantly be doing the same thing. You need to do different things. You need to move on and think of different perspectives. How many times do I have to emphasize this? Oh, I'll keep doing it till the point gets through. All right, now this is bad because I've stopped on a hill. That's a red light, so I have to stop. But now I'm stopped on a hill, and maybe it'll be hard to get up the hill because I'm going from a dead stop on an icy road. But at least I'm doing so obeying the law and not going through a red light because, well, that's just the first step towards anarchy, and we don't want that. Okay.
the super cautious car in front of me, of course, is now going backwards, and that's definitely not a good thing at all. Yeah, you're going to need to go the other direction for me to go in the other direction. Oh, this is bad. You see, the irony is, and there's an SUV in front of me, too, that can't make it up the hill. I can make it up the hill. I have no trouble doing this. I don't understand what the problem is. I don't even have snow tires. And yet somehow I can maneuver this car just fine, even though it's 14 years old. It's not a problem getting up an icy hill. But you guys, with your big, massive vehicles, can't... Okay, I'm going to just go around you. It's a little icy. It's a little icy, but you steer around it, you know? You steer around it, and... Okay, you know, now you're just kicking snow up at me as you spin. That's just not right. That's just not... If you get stuck, that's fine, but you don't kick snow up at the car in back of you. That's disrespectful. Disrespectful, I'm not going to tolerate it. All right, he's going sideways. This car in front of me is going sideways now up a hill. It's kind of comical to watch. I'm sure he's not laughing, but I'm having a good time watching this. And I'm not sliding at all. I'm just moving at a steady rate. In fact, How are you doing that? I don't understand. You must have rear-wheel drive or something. I don't know how you're able to move like that. It's like one of those grocery carts where all four wheels turn. That's how he's moving. And we don't have a lot of those in the States, but those are fun cars. You know, should I just pass this guy? I feel like a bit of a jerk for passing him, but, you know, this is silly. I'm passing you. I'm sorry. This is just dumb. Probably have bald tires or something. I don't know how you could possibly drive like that. All right, I passed him. Now I'm going way up the hill while he's way back there. I feel bad, but, I couldn't just watch that forever. I had to move. Life goes on, you know. I totally lost my train of thought. We were going up the hill. The guy was spinning. SUVs getting stuck. All that sort of thing. But now the road is clear in front of me. There's nobody on the road because that guy was going so slowly that there haven't been cars by here in a long time. The post office is again within sight, and hopefully I won't have to stop again before I reach there. Well, that worked out great. Not only did I make the deadline, and the thing will go out today, but there was nobody else in the post office, not a single person, except for the guy behind the counter. And it's the holiday season. It's the peak packaging period, the three Ps. Literally nobody is here because of the storm. So I was able to just get everything I needed done quickly, efficiently, and... amazingly. Wow. I'm flabbergasted by this. So, yeah, this is another reason why I like storms and snow, because it's kind of like nighttime. I like to do most of my work at night because, and no offense to the people who are listening, but people get in the way. You know, people really slow you down. If you're trying to get somewhere, you're trying to drive around, they get in front of you and they go slow or they do something stupid and you have to wait for them to figure it out. And it's just, whenever I'm up in the daytime, I am just, I get very frustrated very quickly. And, unfortunately, it makes me rather antisocial, I know, but it's a fact of life. And snow like this kind of has the same effect, except in the daytime. It keeps people away from certain things. So I can go to various places now and be assured that there won't be somebody else there in front of me, slowing me down. If I had tried this and it wasn't snowing to mail a package right before the holidays, I think I would be waiting in line for like an hour, and I was able to just walk right up and get this done with no problem at all. Amazing. Okay, of course, that doesn't help me as far as getting back myself. Actually, you know what, I might as well, since I'm out here now, I might as well run a few errands, go to the bank, which is still open. Maybe just go some other places, because there won't be... Well, there will be some traffic, and they'll be going very slowly, but when I get to the places I'm going to, those people won't be there. So it'll be fairly empty, and I might be able to get a lot done that way. But it's just amazing. It's great that I actually made it outside, and I'm driving around in this really hostile weather where everybody's being advised to stay home. Which, you know, you should stay home if you're not the kind of person that enjoys this sort of thing and feels confident that you can make it up steep hills in a 14-year-old car. All right, all that said, it's time for me to move on and get to the bank now. But, yeah, this has been... this worked out. This worked out nicely. Haven't really seen an accident yet. I've seen a lot of stranded cars, mostly SUVs stranded on the side of the road, but no accidents. So a lot of invitations to accidents, but I haven't accepted any of them. And I'm sure I'll see something before the night is over. Hey, I should go to the supermarket. That would make sense, wouldn't it? Probably won't be very many lines there. And I can stock up for the long winter night ahead. Again, the SUV is just using their intimidation tactics. I'm driving down this road, SUV coming out of the store, and I'm approaching, and he's like inching forward, like he's trying to push his way in, mere inches in front of me. What's that accomplish, other than to prove what an idiot you are? Someone told me recently, you know how they tell you when you're taking driver's ed and things like that, if you ever get into a skid, what you're supposed to do, and they always say to steer into the skid, and it's kind of hard to figure out what that means exactly. I heard a much better rule of thumb if you find yourself skidding on a road, and that is to simply look in the direction that you would like to be going as opposed to the direction that you actually are going. And if you do that, if you turn your head and look in the direction that you want to be going, your hands on the steering wheel naturally follow, and you will steer the car in that direction. Now, I haven't had a chance to test this yet. I hope to tonight. Well, actually, I don't hope to tonight. But if I do find myself skidding, as the gentleman in front of me seems to be doing, all right, glad you recovered. He was heading right at me. the side of his car was heading right at me. Okay. If I find myself skidding, I will try to keep that in mind. Just stare in a direction that you would prefer to be going and see what happens then. Situations like this, you're supposed to follow the rules, and I don't. I try to be as safe as possible, but when something happens, whether it be a blizzard or a hurricane, I want to be part of it. I want to see what's going on. I want to experience how bad it actually is, without being, you know, reckless or anything like that. And there are certain times where it actually becomes obviously more trouble than it's worth. But if I feel I have a shot at actually getting down a road, I'm going to attempt it at least, and only give up when it is obvious that it's not safe or possible. I'm glad I'm out here now. I'm glad I'm seeing this, as opposed to just sort of staying inside and reading about it. For those of you who listen in places that actually do get lots of snow, like, say, Buffalo or Canada, places like that, Norway, Finland, what we're getting now is nothing. It really is nothing. We're talking about a couple of inches on the ground. And, yeah, it's a little slippery. But you guys are used to feet of snow and having it there for the entire season. And, I mean, I have a lot of respect for people that can get around in that, but I think you just get used to it after a while, and I think anybody would. You could have feet of snow in Atlanta, Georgia, and after a couple of years of mayhem, people would adapt, and then they'd be able to drive around without constantly running into each other and getting around fairly safely. It's just, it's part of our uniqueness as humans. We're able to adapt to different situations. Not just humans, all animals have the ability to adapt. Well, maybe not the cold-blooded ones, but you basically live and learn, and I think it would be good for us if we had all sorts of different adverse conditions to adjust to. I'm not saying I'm in favor of people suffering misfortunes and things like that, but a little snow never hurt anybody. Well, actually, that's not true. I think I might have actually seen evidence of it tonight. But the point is, we should probably not think of it as a bad thing and just try and be as safe as possible when something like this does happen. Yeah, I know, it's ironic me telling people how to be safe as I'm driving in hazardous conditions while talking on a microphone. But if I feel like I'm in danger, I will stop doing this at a moment's notice. This is one of the many sacrifices I make for the listening audience. I think what I'll do now is head over to a local bookstore, maybe do some shopping for the holidays, that kind of thing. Listen to that road. It's, looks like this road has been cleared, and you're able to go pretty fast on it, but it's a lot of residual gunk that's still there, and makes driving not that easy. Uh-oh. Okay, that was kind of scary. All of a sudden, there was this wall of snow ahead of me. Apparently, a snowplow had just cleared out a parking lot and put it right onto the highway. I was able to maneuver around it pretty quickly, but kind of scary when suddenly it shows up like that. Must have been a foot deep. Here, the other disadvantage of snow is that you can't see the potholes. Oh my god, I just hit another one. Really, the roads here are so atrocious. You can't see what's ahead of you. And yeah, I just fell into a pothole about a foot deep. But that's what happens. You gotta fight a war, you can't really fix the infrastructure back home, can you? I'm going to pull into a parking lot now and go into a bookstore for a little bit. Okay, I just got out of the bookshop. I have to say, without a doubt, it is so much better going to stores and post offices and banks in the middle of the snowstorm, assuming they're open, because there's nobody else in there. You get so much more done. So if you feel like risking your life a little bit, or if you feel confident that you can make it through the roads, and there happens to be a blizzard or a snowstorm or something coming that will keep most people inside, by all means, go outside and catch up, because it's just so much easier once you're inside, that is, getting there, of course. You might not actually save any time, because getting there might take a lot longer. But once you're there, nobody to run into or to compete with or wait online with. Usually, this time of year, this particular bookstore, you have to wait like 40 minutes to get out. The line extends to the back of the store. And today there was nobody online. Incredible. I might as well just go to all the places that I don't usually go to because of crowds, like, you know, supermarkets and department stores and things like that. It's great. And, you know, you're not going to run into people who are massacring in the mall on a day like this because, well, I mean, they're people too, and they probably have to clear their driveway or whatever, and they're probably concerned about getting into an accident on the way over to the massacre, so they probably won't do it on a day like this. So you're safer. If you go to a mall during a blizzard, you're probably a lot safer because there won't be as many people shooting at you. Probably the same thing goes for church. If you're a religious person, go to a church now during the blizzard rather than when everybody else goes on Sunday. You're less likely to get picked off by a sniper or to get mowed down by somebody with an automatic weapon. Little tips for the 21st century American that I think would be very valuable to carry with you at all times. But in any event, even if you don't feel like going to a mall or a store or a church or even in your car, and it's snowing or the weather is inclement or whatnot, at least put on a coat, put on some shoes, and go outside and just hang out for a while. Yeah, it's wet, it's cold, it's windy, but it's life, and it's something that should be experienced. And rather than just sit in front of the TV set or the computer and read about it and hear other people's accounts, get some of your own. It's you'll find it's not the worst thing in the world. Feeling a little bit of weather on you is actually quite a good thing. And when you get back inside, you will feel great. You will feel amazing. Have a nice cup of hot chocolate or something and just sort of hang out by the fire, assuming you have one. Don't start one if you don't have one. That's my advice. I guess it's sort of a parallel to life itself. Get out there and live it. Don't listen to me talk about it.
Well, I'm sure that was a very interesting story to most of the people listening, and it was in fact pre-recorded. However, we're now back live in the studio, and our technical problems have all been fixed. We're sorry. We know that there was a faulty microphone that resulted in some bad sound before. However, this has all been taken care of, and we want to continue the live program that we've been doing here on Christmas Day. It's great personal sacrifice to ourselves, coming in when we could be having fun someplace else, and being at the radio station to bring you the weekly program as we always. I'll be right there, as we always do this week, this day, this every week at this time is what I'm is what I'm trying to say. So what I'd like to do at this point is switch to a different microphone that will sound better than this one. This one, I think, is picking up a little bit of crosstalk through the wire somehow. I'm not really sure how the technology works. But this microphone should not have any more problems like the other ones did. It's, it was faulty equipment. We're sorry about that. And we've worked hard to fix it. So please enjoy the rest of the program. And even though we've sacrificed our holiday to be here in the radio station today, there's no reason you should do so. Have fun with your family and friends and do whatever else you would do on this day. And please enjoy the rest of the program, which should come to you flawlessly from this point on, starting right about now. Starting right about now, I should be switching to the new microphone. Oh, come on already. Please, the new...
Okay, so let's look at what's been going on this week. You hear what Bush said yesterday? I'm like, I just can't believe the stupid thing this guy keeps saying. He tops himself. You think he said the dumbest thing ever. And then he comes along and says something like he did yesterday. Well, you know, limited time tonight. Limited time. Why even bother getting into it? You all heard it. You all know. It's when is this going to end? I mean, I'm sure in another year. Think about that. In another year, it's almost going to be over. It'll be the last days of the Bush administration. Unless there's some sort of a coup or something. But think about that. It'll almost be over, and who knows how many more things he'll say like he said yesterday. But there'll be more people coming out, especially after his regime is finished, writing books, talking about what really happened inside his administration. I'm sure when Laura divorces him in the future, sometime it's going to happen, she'll have all kinds of revelations to make, and that'll just be that'll be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to hearing the true story of what really went on out there. There's all kinds of things we can focus on, the things that have happened over the years under Bush. I'm looking at something actually somebody sent in, a Bill of Rights under Bush, a timeline, and just all the things that that happened, all the erosions of our rights, and just seeing it all fall apart. I mean, it all started in January 2001, his first month, where Bush and Cheney begin the process of radically broadening the scope of documents and information which can be deemed classified. So already they're covering up our right to know various things before they even did anything they were trying to hide. And all sorts of other things. A lot of it pre-9/11, but of course most of it happening after 9/11 with all sorts of things about the NSA monitoring domestic phone and internet traffic, and a massive new database of information on citizens, Supreme Court upholding the rights of school administrators to conduct mandatory drug testing of students without probable cause, the Transportation Security Administration creating a no-fly and a separate watch list of U.S. travelers, the creation of the Department of Homeland Security in addition to the TSA, which just basically has turned into a tremendous waste of time, effort, and changing the way we think of our liberties, freedoms, and ourselves, creation of DNA databases, criminalization of the use of encryption to conceal incriminating communications. This list just goes on and on and on. It just never stops. And this is what people should be upset about, rather than upset about silly things. And we've talked about that over the past few weeks, too, namely gun issues, and everybody is freaking out, or certain people are freaking out over, my God, someone might want us to be responsible with our guns. It's funny. You don't even have to say that you support banning or taking away guns from people, just basically acting responsible and not getting all these crazy machine guns that can kill hundreds of people in a minute. People get upset when you say that we're thinking of keeping an eye on these kinds of things, because so many people are losing their lives, and so many cities are falling apart because of this, mostly because of this. And all the stuff I just mentioned, that's fine. Let that happen. It's okay. We don't need those rights anyway. But don't try and pry that gun out of my hands, because that's what's important to me. And I wonder, are we living on the same planet? Seriously. I mean, how important are certain things to certain people, and why?
Nearly two-thirds of Americans say they believe the Constitution guarantees each person the right to own a gun. That's according to a recent poll. 65% said they thought the Constitution ensures that right. 31% said it did not. The question had a sampling error of plus or minus 3 points. Now, not surprisingly, men and people living in rural areas were most likely to say the Constitution guarantees the right to own a gun. Nearly three-quarters of men out there, 72%, said they believe so versus 26% who did not. More than half of women said they believe so versus slightly more than a third who did not. As many of us know, the Second Amendment says a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed upon. Now, it was grammatically horrible, of course, and it's very hard to figure out exactly what the meaning was. Some have interpreted those words to mean that everyone has a right to own a gun. Others say the amendment protects only the right of citizens to form a militia. To be honest, I don't really know if it makes much difference at this point, because there aren't very many militias out there doing anything other than being co-opted by military and sent over to Iraq, so I think the whole idea of militias might be a little bit outdated as well. Now, I can say that. I can say that, yeah, maybe this concept of a well-regulated militia needs to be updated a little bit. I can say that. No one's going to freak out if I say that, even though, technically, by saying that, I'm tampering with the Constitution, because the Constitution says well-regulated militia. But God forbid, I say, well, maybe it's time to rethink the way that we deal with weaponry in this country, because, you know, back in the 1700s, and I know this is a radical thought, back in the 1700s, things were a little bit different than they are in the 21st century. Now, I know a lot of people don't like that idea, and a lot of people want it to remain the way it was in the 1700s, but, yeah, you know, it's not really the same. It's not really the same. You've got all kinds of automatic weapons out there, and Teflon-piercing bullets, and bazookas, and even nuclear weapons, which, if you believe the gun zealotry that runs rampant in our nation, everybody should be able to pick and choose whatever it is they want, and that's just fine and dandy. And it's all going to sort itself out in the end. People will self-regulate. Now, you know, it doesn't work that way. If you believe it does, take a visit to the inner cities of Detroit or Baltimore or Camden, New Jersey, or Washington, D.C., our nation's capital, yes, and see just how well it's working. It's not. It's not working. Something needs to be done. And you can pretend the war on drugs is going to actually accomplish something. But it seems to me that ever since the war on drugs began, more people are using drugs than ever before, more people are winding up in prison than ever before, and more gun violence than ever is taking place. So I don't think fighting drugs is the way to fight violent crime. Doesn't seem that way anyway. In fact, it seems to actually increase the violent crime because you're sending all these people who were not violent when they went into prison into a system where they basically are forced to become violent. They come back out, and they don't know how to deal with society, and they wind up back into that place teaching more people how to be violent. It just never seems to end. We clearly have a problem, and a problem that many other countries don't have. Many other countries, by the way, which value freedom as much as we do, simply don't value firing guns as much as we do. And even that, you know, I've said this before, I'm not against firing guns. I think it's great for people to learn sportsmanship and even go out hunting. Even though I don't practice hunting myself, I understand it's a sportsmanlike thing to do. What I really have a problem with are people that feel that they need to carry guns to protect themselves against other people carrying guns in streets and bursting through their doors in homes. Now, if that is the case, and I don't believe we've reached that stage yet, but if that is the case, then we have a sick society. And the way to deal with the sick society is not to get more guns, it's to do something else, and that's what I think we should be discussing. What do we do to fix a society that has gotten so violent and so unbelievably unhealthy that we have to think along these lines? I mean, I've seen things in recent months talking about how teachers need to be armed now, or that story earlier this year where elementary school students were being taught how to act like soldiers in case somebody takes over their classroom, and how they shouldn't give in and basically accept collateral damage. In other words, some of you are going to die, but you have to do that in order to defeat this guy who burst into your classroom with an Uzi. And if you're actually teaching your kid how to think that way, to me, that's tantamount to child abuse and really sick behavior that needs to be addressed. And if going around arming everybody and developing this fascination with guns is forwarding that way of thinking, then we need to really take a good hard look at that and figure out something else, because that ain't going to work. Anyway, I really didn't want to even talk about this today. I don't know how I keep getting dragged into this, but it's always in the news. People are always sending in mail about this. And it's something I just don't want to let go of, because I think it's an important issue. I see it dragging everybody down. Society today is nothing like it was 20 years ago. We've become so much more violent and obsessed with these things. Nobody is, well, there are people, I'm sure, that are saying to ban all guns. I think that's unrealistic. But we need to not be so fascinated with them. We need to not be building up arsenals that are just being used against other people with other arsenals. It's not smart. It's not wise. It's not constructive. And it does nothing. It does nothing to further what our country was supposedly founded on. So either we have some kind of a plan going forward, or we simply fall apart into chaos and mayhem, which seems to be the way we're going. So my plea on this day is simply to think a little bit harder about where it is that we're heading, what it is that we actually want, and how we intend to get there. And I think one way to get there is simply to figure out ways to make our culture less violent and to not have ready access to means of carrying out carnage on such massive levels that we've seen. And it just keeps happening. There's a reason for this. Now, maybe if you take care of the violence, maybe if we have a much less violent society, then everybody can walk around with the weapon of their choice and nothing will happen. I would have no trouble with that if that's how it actually played out. To be honest, I think that's fantasy land. I think everybody can lose it at some stage. And just take a good, hard look at yourself and the people around you and ask yourself, have you ever completely lost it, where you just freak out and start yelling, screaming, and throwing things? I have, certainly. I know everybody I know has. Yeah, when I was growing up, I used to get into all kinds of arguments and tantrums and things like that. And you'd slam the door so hard in your house that pictures would fall off the wall. That's right. And once I kicked the wall, and I actually kicked a hole in my own wall. I must have been 12 years old when I did this. I think everybody does this. I think everybody goes a little too far and goes crazy. I'm sure there's all kinds of stories. These would be fun stories to trade. Feel free to write in with your story of how you freaked out. OTW@2600.com. We'd love to hear them. Now, if everybody just has a weapon that can kill the person that's bothering you at the moment, I mean, I'd like to say that we all have enough control to not do anything bad. But when you completely flip out, and people do flip out, it happens. Things get very stressful sometimes. People pick on you. You get unreasonably emotional. And in a split second is all it takes, you can make the absolute wrong decision. All right? Do you want to be in a position where you can always make the worst possible decision of your life? Do you always want that to be so easy to do? It doesn't make much sense to me. Now, if you're in the middle of a war, yes, I guess you have to have weapons around you. Are we in the middle of a war? It doesn't seem that way. Not yet, anyway.
Here, I'd just like to wish you everything you wish yourselves for Christmas.
This is John Lennon saying on behalf of the Beatles, have a very happy Christmas and a good new year.
George Harrison speaking. I'd like to take this opportunity of wishing a very merry Christmas, listeners everywhere.
This is Ringo Starr, and I'd just like to say merry Christmas and a really happy new year to all listeners.
Christmas came in the fall, and your bonny clay that's through, have a bit bristling to you people, all the best from me to you, and the beastie drango mutton to the hill and the lane, have you struck moot mutter to your arms once back again, buck away.